No wonder Jesus went to the cross. If these are the words he's speaking to the religious leaders, those who would eventually arrest him and surrender him over to Rome. Let's pray. God, your word is sometimes difficult for us to get our minds around and hear. So we pray you would intercede on our behalf by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray, you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to take within the depths of our own beings, our souls, our spirits, this teaching for us this morning. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was painting the little aluminum fishing boat that I picked up a few weeks ago to make into a duck hunting boat. It was Friday and it was warm, and all of a sudden three young gentlemen show up in white shirts and ties, and I think, well, I wonder what these guys want. So I stopped the sander, I turned down the music, and I welcomed these young men. And I don't know, usually I would just dismiss them because, well, we probably aren't on the same page when it comes to our theological understanding of Christ in particular. But God softened my heart in that moment. And so I started to chat, and I felt a true sense of love for these three young men. I'm not sure if it's because they're the age probably of my oldest son, or at least thereabouts. But we had an interesting conversation about faith. And so you know me, it's all about Jesus. So we began to talk about Jesus. And in the Orthodox Church, that is generally and traditionally accepted theology, we are made right with God by grace through faith. But in the Mormon theology, they are made right with God by their works. It's called works righteousness. And so we began to talk about heart matters. And I said, you know, Jesus talks about our works as being an expression of our faith, an expression of our gratitude and joy and obedience and service because of God's grace given to us. I ended up praying for these young men and then sending them off, and they said, you know, for a pastor, you're pretty loving. I said, yeah. I said, you guys probably run into some pastors who aren't very loving. I'm thinking, that's probably me. I told Jeanette this story, and she said, you did what? You were nice to them? I said, yeah, I really was. And she said, there is a God. This is what Jesus is talking about here today with the Pharisees. I think Jesus really did have a genuine love for the Pharisees. And I think also Paul had a genuine love for the religious leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees. Why? I think because certainly Paul was a Pharisee himself, and Jesus had a love for all people. And so Jesus and Paul are preaching the same good news, the same gospel. In our Philippians text, Jim read for us, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." You see, what Paul is getting at is that our faith by grace leads us to be faithful and obedient to the law. It's not the other way around. So we catch up with Paul in this letter at the beginning of chapter 3. Paul says further, introducing now new information, but information that's tied to what he's already been preaching. And remember what he's been preaching. We are suffering for Jesus. We find unity in Jesus. We are surrendering like Jesus. We are being obedient to Jesus. And today, we're going to be encouraged to live by Jesus, through Jesus and his power. And so further, says Paul, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. So further means because you're suffering, because we have unity, because we are surrendering, because we are obedient, now live this way. And rejoice in the Lord means that we are having our joy in a right relationship with God, as opposed to rejoicing in one's adherence to the law, like the Judaizers. Remember, Pastor Sam talked last week about the Judaizers. These are Jews who have converted to Christianity, but are still preaching circumcision in particular. That Jesus, yes, is a good start, but there's more. I call this cross plus. It's grace plus circumcision, or it's grace, cross, plus works. So the Gentile believers are being encouraged by the Judaizers to submit to the law, to the Torah. And Paul says, watch out. He says, pay attention. It's easy to fall into sin here. You see, we find that true in our lives, don't we? It's easy to take the cross and then a plus. I don't know what that plus is for you. I struggle with the cross plus spiritual disciplines. I say in my own head, yes, Jesus is enough and by grace through faith, but then I add works on top of it. Well, I need to read the Bible more, though. I need to pray more. I need to be nicer to young 20-somethings in white shirts and ties. Cross plus. You see, we like to be in control of our own righteousness. Those are things that we handle. But Jesus says, it's not about our works. And Paul says, watch out for these Judaizers. And then he calls them three names. Now, there's a lot of name calling in Scripture today, isn't there? Paul is calling the Pharisees names. If you didn't pick it up on this in our gospel reading, Jesus has a few names for the Pharisees. Did you pick up on that? Paul says, you dogs. Now, this is definitely a pejorative term. Dogs are nasty scavengers that were detested by Greco-Roman society and considered even worse by the Jews. Unclean. In fact, you would have to go through ceremonial washing if you actually touched a dog or if a dog touched you. And it's ironic that Paul calls those who are seeking to be clean. Their one goal was to live out the Torah, the law, so that they would be made clean, righteous before God. But it turns out to be all for naught because it's only works righteousness. And works righteousness doesn't make us clean. In fact, Paul says you are unclean because of your actions. Then he calls them evildoers. Again, a pejorative term. Evildoers are those who work inequity by rejecting God's own righteousness. Now think about this for a minute. This is opposed to truly trusting in God's righteousness. The Pharisees are trusting only in their righteousness. They say, I can be good if I follow the law. I can be made right with God if I follow the law. And so the issue at hand is their own trusting in their service and obedience to God. where God says, no, trust me and me alone. Martin Luther died on those five solas, right? Sola fide, that's faith alone. Sola gratia, it's grace alone. Sola Christi, it's Christ alone. And this is what Paul is getting at. And he says they're evildoers because they're not trusting in God. They're trusting in their own ability to live the law. This stands in opposition to those who are truly righteous. And this is what Paul is trying to tell the church at Philippi. Don't listen to the Judaizers. They're just spouting off untruths. You are righteous by grace through faith, and grace alone, and faith alone in Christ alone. It's not the cross plus circumcision or whatever else you put in there. So Paul says, watch out, stay true. It's easy to fall into the trap of trusting in your own righteousness. And then lastly, this is where Paul makes a brilliant argument. He's a great rabbi, a great teacher. Paul calls them mutilators. That is literally those who cut to pieces the flesh. And it's a wordplay that we don't pick up in the English. In the Greek, peritome means to cut around. That's the word that's used for circumcision, to cut around, peritome. But katatome, same ending, means to cut to pieces. Now, I would suggest you don't imagine this, you just receive this as information. Because we're talking here about the difference between circumcision and mutilation. Paul is brilliant in his discussion here, convincing most certainly the church at Philippi to not listen to the Judaizers, because it's about righteousness by grace through faith, and that alone. And this is Paul's point. The Judaizers in Philippi were disregarding by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. And then they were destroying the message of the cross completely. But before we're too quick to judge, we might feel a tinge of conviction or reproof or correction, because it's so common and so human to add to the gift of grace. We do it in our lives all the time. You see, for Paul, the cross is enough. And the question we then ask ourselves as we unfold this text is the cross enough for us? Is the cross enough for me? The prophet Jeremiah, speaking the words of God, and Jim read this for us today in our Old Testament reading, says this, verse 25 in chapter 9, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness in distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised. And even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart." I wonder, I'm pretty sure, that the Apostle Paul, knowing the Old Testament, has this verse of Jeremiah in mind when he says to the Philippians, "We who are the circumcision." You see, what he's saying is the Judaizers are not of the circumcision. Why? Because they're only circumcising the flesh, but we have circumcised hearts. Our hearts have been cut in the shape of God. The heart matters. It is out of our heart that we love. It is out of our heart that we serve. It is out of our heart that we are found obedient, that we preach the word of Christ, that we take a moment on a hot day sitting in an aluminum boat, painting it camouflage, anticipating hunting ducks in October when three young men walk up and say, "Have you heard the good news of Jesus Christ?" "Well, yes, a matter of fact, I have." But let me tell you about the true Christ, who looks not at the outside, but the inside. I was last week having a chat with a friend about this very topic. It was a great conversation, and I think in the end we agreed, and we're talking about the importance of the heart in taking care of others and serving God and accomplishing His purposes and being found obedient. This friend was talking about the Universalist church in our area that was advocating for immigrant rights. And I've got to be honest with you, if you're going to be true to Scripture, you're going to advocate for immigrant rights. However that looks, it's not a political statement, it's a theological statement, however that looks. But we're talking about why they were advocating for the rights of immigrants. And I don't know why. I don't know their hearts. But what I was saying, and my point was simply, it is out of the heart that we advocate for the rights of the stranger, the sojourner, the immigrant. Because the heart matters. In fact, it's all about the heart. Because the heart evidences Jesus within it. And so too, then, Paul says, as Jesus said, serve God by the Spirit. It's interesting, Paul has three names that are pejorative: dogs, evildoers, and mutilators for the Pharisee. But then Paul has three ways of Jesus that the true follower might live out of a heart for God. The first is, serve God by the Spirit. See, this is the difference. The evildoers, the mutilators, the dogs were serving God's purposes. Yeah, of course they were. Does God want us to live according to the law? Absolutely. Jesus said that if anyone takes away from the law, even a jot or tittle, which are just little marks around the consonants and vowels. There are actually no vowels in Hebrew, but they're little marks that help us understand the language. And Jesus says, if you remove any one of those marks, then you are found sinful. But our living the law is a response to God's grace by faith, not that we are made righteous. And so Paul, too, says, serve God by the Spirit, not by the law, not by the Torah, not because you have to. You see, there are too many oughts and shoulds and have to's, or we owe God. But this isn't why God wants us to be found faithful and obedient. He wants our hearts to change, that we might serve out of the right heart. Then Paul says, serve God by the Spirit and boast in Christ Jesus. Boast in what Christ has done through you, not what you do. I found myself talking to these young men out of a spirit of love for God. After Jeanette said to me, "Well, you were actually nice to them." I said, "You know, God grabbed my heart in that moment." And she said, "Yeah, He must have." Don't you love wives? They keep you true and they keep you grounded. Yeah, He must have. And she was saying this in truth, that in my own power and strength, I get wrapped up in theology in my mind and argumentation. But God wants me to show love from the heart. And this is what Paul is saying. Boast in Christ Jesus. Don't boast in your own accomplishments like the Pharisees. Oh, look what I've done. Look how much I give. Look how much I pray. Look what eloquent words I use when I pray on the street corners Remember, God had something to say about this through Jesus. When you pray, when you fast, when you give alms, do it how? In secret, from the heart, that your Father would know. And lastly, Paul says to those in Philippi, put no confidence in the flesh. And I'll conclude with this woe to the Pharisees of Jesus. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Christian friends, family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we attending to the important work of the heart that we might be found faithful in suffering for Jesus, in unity in Jesus, surrendering like Jesus, obedience to Jesus, and lastly, by living by and through Jesus? Because God is a cardiologist, not a general practitioner. And he wants to change your heart. Amen. So now we stand.